Amen. Well, this week and next week especially, all throughout Christianity, people will be celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be thinking about how he died and what he accomplished for us, this sort of thing. And what we're going to begin to look at this morning is the day that Jesus Christ died. Now, growing up in the church, I was taught that Jesus Christ died on Good Friday at about 6 o'clock, and he rose, which we called Easter Sunday morning, and that's what I was taught. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Matthew 12:40 says exactly that. It says that he would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. So growing up, I never sat down and counted from Friday to Sunday. I just took for granted what I was taught was accurate. But there's no way you can get 3 days and three nights from Friday around 3 o'clock to Sunday morning. If you want to include part of the day on Friday, which is stretching it, which is what we shouldn't do, but even if you did, that would be one day. Saturday would be 2 days. And Sunday, if you want to include just part of Sunday, that would be 3 days. But we're still short if we use that method, because if we include part of the night or the entire night on Friday and Saturday, we're still short a night on Sunday. So no matter how you do the math, it does not add up. And if you're going to be literal, like the Bible is in some cases, when the Bible says day and night and it uses it together, it's talking about a full 24-hour period. So it's 72 hours in the grave, 72 hour nights. That's what it's talking about, or 72 hours complete, day and night. It's talking about full 24-hour periods. So as we begin to look at this subject, we're going to begin to see how the Word of God unwinds what tradition has taught us. Now, I'm not telling you that people that teach that are bad. I'm just telling you that perhaps they're misled and they don't take the time to look at the Bible. And a lot of times we go with tradition more than we do with the Word of God. So today we're going to look at the day that Jesus Christ died. Okay, I'm going to back up one. Now, before we actually get into the teaching, there's some biblical keys that I have to set for you so you can understand what we're talking about. We're going to look at biblical months. We're going to look at biblical days. We're going to look at biblical customs. And we're going to look at biblical watches. Because an understanding of Bible times and the things of Bible times is important if we're going to understand the day that Jesus Christ died. In Exodus chapter 12, you can go there if you like. It's the second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. If not, you can be just looking up on the TV. That's fine, too. And again, our consideration is the day that Jesus Christ died. Because if we can find out the day that he died, we can find out the day that he rose. Because he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Exodus 12, in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the month of the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, this month in Exodus chapter 12 was the month that was called Abib. And Abib occurred during our springtime, during our March or during our April. That's what it corresponded to. Okay? And the month was called Abib. Deuteronomy chapter 16. gives us more information with regards to this particular month. You got January, that's the first month of our year, right? Well, in the Bible, God said we want this month to be the first month, and we're going to call it Abib, Abib. In Deuteronomy 16, it says, observe the month of what? Abib. And keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee out of Egypt by night. So the first month of the year, according to Deuteronomy 16:1, was called what? Abib. Now you can also see Exodus 13:4. 23:15 and 34:18, these verses will also tell you the same thing. They will tell you that the first month of the year is called Abib. Okay? Now, I want you to go to Esther chapter 3. Or just look at it if you can't find the book of Esther. Now, in Esther chapter 3, we have a verse of scripture in verse 7. In the first part of the verse, it says, in the first month, that is the month of what? Nisan. In the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is, the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month what? Adar. So here in Esther, the first month is not called Abib. The first month here in the book of Esther is called what? Nisan. Now either we have a contradiction or we have a mistranslation or we got a problem now with the Bible. Because in one place it says the first month is called Abib. In this place it says it's called Nisan. But one thing that we do get some added extra information because we see that the last month was called what? Adar. It's called Adar. Now, according to the Hebrew calendar, the first month was Abib. Later, it became Nisan. Later, it was changed to Nisan. And the reason that it got changed was because Judah, like Israel, did not continue to obey God and the things of God. And God sent them prophets warning them, if they do not obey the word of God, they're going to go into captivity. It's a lot like the United States today. The United States is doing everything it can to get rid of God out of school, out of the church, out of politics, out of everything. And God's calling out. Well, if history's going to repeat itself, the United States won't have much longer before it too goes into captivity. Judah did not respond to the call of God. They ignored God. He sent prophet after prophet after prophet, and you want to know something? They just didn't want to hear. They laughed at the prophets. They scorned the prophets. They mocked the prophets. You know what else they did? They killed the prophets. When someone spoke the truth, they just laughed at them. They mocked them or they killed them. The Word of God says that they literally took Jeremiah and buried him up to crap, poop, S-H-I-T, to his neck. You understand? How would you like to be a man of God, to be a prophet, and to be buried up to your neck in that kind of stuff? But this is the way they treated men of God. This is the way they treated the prophets who brought the word of God. And it's the same today. People will mock you when you speak about Jesus Christ. People will mock you when you speak about the truth of God's word. So nothing has changed. Well, Judah did go into captivity. The Babylonians came and they took them and they put them in captivity. And after the Babylonian influence, God's people began to call the month of Abib by the name Nisan. By the name of Nisan. Okay? Now, so in Deuteronomy 16:1, we saw that the month Abib was the month that the Lord brought the children of Israel forth from Egypt by night. It's talking about the Passover. Exodus teaches us that that month was called Abib, and it would be the beginning of the month, so it would be the first of the months of the year. Esther calls the same month Nisan. So Nisan and Abib refer to the same month. So when we read Nisan in the Bible and we read Abib in this Bible, it's talking about the first month. But for sake of clarity of teaching purpose, we're going to use Nisan as we begin to present the day that Jesus Christ died. Okay, now we're going to look at biblical days. We looked at biblical months. The next thing we're going to look at is biblical days. The beginning of the day, according to biblical reckoning, differs from ours. And this is something that is very important and you must understand. Midnight marks the end of one day and the beginning of the next in our modern times. You know, we have a New Year's Eve party. Not only does it change the day, but it changes the year. But at 12:01 tonight, it's going to be what? Monday, right? However, in biblical times, sunset, not midnight, was the start of a new day. So when the sun went down, that's when they began their new day. Sunset would vary according to the time of year. But again, for sake of teaching purposes, we're going to place sunset at approximately 6 p.m. 6 p.m. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 35, or chapter 35, verse 1, it says, "Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the what? Which was what? Nisan." Okay, but here we see that the Passover was killed on what day? The 14th day. The 14th day. Now, days changed, and when they changed at what time approximately? Around 6 o'clock, around sunset, right? Okay. Now, Exodus chapter 12, verse 6 gives us the same information, talking with regards to the Passover once again. It says, "And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." In the evening. Now we have to take some time to look at the phrase "in the evening." In the Hebrew, the phrase "in the evening" literally means between the evenings. Between the evenings. In other words, that period of time when it's going to change from one day to another day. And we know that according to biblical reckoning, that period of time would be at sunset. Okay? The Talmud, which is a collection of ancient Jewish writings that form the basis of the Jewish religion, religious laws, refers to the between the evenings from a period of time of 2:30 to 3:30 in the afternoon. That's when the sun starts to go down and it's visibly declining. And that's how the Eastern men and women reckoned their time and their days. Now, according to the historian Josephus, the practice in the first century A.D. was to begin the slaughtering of the Passover lamb and they at around the ninth hour. And that corresponded to around our 3 p.m. We're going to look at biblical watches later on in this teaching, and you'll see how that works. So they took a lamb, they kept it, and they started to slaughter it and prepare it to cook around 3 in the afternoon. Some scholars believe that the phrase "between the evening" refers to the entire afternoon from the sun's decline from its highest point at noon to its decline below the horizon at sunset. Thus, the Passover lamb would be slain on the 14th of Nisan before sunset because sunset began the 15th, the new day. So as long as it got killed before sunset, when sunset finally got there, the 14th would change into what? The 15th. It would be a new day. You can look at Leviticus 23:5, Numbers 9:3 and 5, Joshua 5:10, and Ezra 6:19, and that will further illustrate this truth. Now, so far, with regard to biblical days, what have we seen? In modern times, midnight marks the end of one day and the beginning of the next in our day and time, right? 12:01, it's going to be Monday morning tomorrow. However, in biblical times, sunset, not midnight, was the start of a new day. Now, these things you have to understand and you have to be aware of, because when it comes time to work the Word of God and see what the Word of God teaches with regard to this subject, you have to understand these keys, or you'll never be able to put the Word of God together. The Passover lamb was chosen on the 10th day of the month. You can read about this in Exodus 12. God told Moses, pick out a lamb, choose it on the 10th day of the month. From the 10th until the 14th, they would keep this lamb. And then on the 14th, between the evenings, they would kill the lamb and prepare it and cook it. By the time they got done around to eating the lamb, it was actually past sunset, so they went into the next day. They actually ate the Passover on the 15th. Now, we know that they ate the Passover sometime, I'm going to be approximate now, between 8 o'clock and 12 o'clock. And the reason why we know they ate it sometime in there, or 7 o'clock and 12 o'clock after sunset, was because the destroyer, the angel of death, came through the land of Egypt that night. And in order for the children of Israel to be passed over and not be included in that last and final plague where God was pulling them out of Egypt, one of the requirements was that was when they killed the lamb, they would take the blood of the lamb and they would dip it in a basin and take some hyssop. It was a plant. And they dip it and they put the blood on the lintel and on the top post of their door. This way, when the angel of death came through, it saw that, and it saw that it could not touch anyone in that house because they belonged to God. So the angel of death came through at midnight. So whenever they ate it, they had to eat it after sunset, but before what? But before midnight. That's correct. Okay. The Bible is an Eastern book, and in order to understand it, you must be aware of Eastern customs. Now we're going to consider the topic of Eastern customs, and this is a large field. It would take many, many hours of teaching and many, many days of teaching to even begin to touch upon the great customs, idioms, and Orientalisms of the Bible. But I'm going to give you a few of them so you understand what we're talking about when we see these things in the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, let's read it this way. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Look at verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from what?
Israel.
Correct, from Israel. Verse 16. And in the first day, I'm talking about the feast, and in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, a holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Verse 17. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. Okay, now we're talking about a second feast. There's the feast of the Passover, and that was to celebrate when the Lord passed over the children of Israel. He saw the blood on the lintel, and he did not execute judgment on the firstborn. Now it says the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day in your generations by an ordinance, what? Forever. Okay, so Exodus 12, verse 8. And it says, they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. See? So they're eating the Passover flesh. They're eating the Passover lamb, and it says, how? When are they eating it? In that what? It's at nighttime. See it? And they're eating it and they're going to roast it with fire. God even instructed them how to prepare the lamb. So the Passover lamb was to be eaten with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. It was to be eaten in that night, after sunset and before midnight. Thus, the Passover meal, the actual eating of the Passover meal, would actually be eaten on the 15th of Nisan, because time changes at around 6 o'clock. You got it? They prepared it on the 14th, but by the time they got around to eating it, it was what? The 15th. All right. Now watch this. The Passover meal was the first meal of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because God wanted them to have a feast, a week-long feast, and they were to eat bread made without leaven. And this feast was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But the first meal of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was the Passover. The first day of the Passover was on, when they ate the meal, was on the 15th. And that was also the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the Passover meal was the first meal of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and to this extent, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread overlapped. They overlapped. Now we're going to continue to look at this. Now, according to what we read in Exodus chapter 12, verse 16, it said that the first and the seventh day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to be days of holy convocations. Holy convocations. They were holy days, Sabbath days, in which no servile work would be done, servile work would be done. They were called high days, okay? A holy convocation is a high day or a special day out of the rest of the days of the week, and it can occur any time during the week. You understand? I have, even as our Christmas often does, depending on the calendar year. Every year, something that I do, which I don't tell anybody, but now everybody that gets these teachings are going to know, is when Christmas time comes, I look for the day that Christmas time is going to come. So if Christmas time, most people go to church on Sundays today. In the Bible, that's not what the Sabbath was. The Sabbath actually was Saturday, and that's when most people kept the Sabbath holy. But when Christmas time comes, I look for Christmas to come on a Friday or a Monday. See, because I get the weekend off. So if Christmas comes on a Sunday, no big deal, because I get Sunday off anyway. But if Christmas comes on a Monday, or if Christmas comes on a Friday, then I get to take Friday off, Saturday and Sunday. You understand? I get a three-day weekend. So every year I look for Christmas and I see when it's going to come. Because if it comes on a Friday this year, who knows when Christmas is coming this year? Anybody? Okay. If it comes on a Friday this year, that Friday is called a holy convocation. It's called a high Sabbath or a high day. Now, Sunday for us is still going to be Sunday, right? That's still the day of the Lord, quote unquote. But that particular week, there's going to be two days of the Lord, special days. And the Bible teaches us that the way we can recognize it is that they're called holy convocations, or they're called high days. Okay? Now, what we've learned here is that in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Bible says that the first day of the feast and the last day of the feast would be what? Holy convocations. They would be high special days. Now, if the Feast of Unleavened Bread started, for instance, today, no big deal, because today's a special day, it's Sunday, and next Sunday's a special day, right? But if the Feast of Unleavened Bread started tomorrow, we would celebrate today, the regular Sabbath, for instance, quote unquote, and then tomorrow it would be what? Another Sabbath, another high day, because it's a special day. And then next week we would celebrate on Sunday, and then we would celebrate what? The Monday again, because the first and the seventh day were holy convocations. Okay, now let's look at this, put this all together. A holy convocation, a Sabbath or a high day, was a special day out of the rest of the days, and it could appear or could occur any day of the week, just like our Christmas does. The traditional Sabbath of the Bible corresponds to our Saturdays. There's a lot of churches and religious groups today that build a whole religion around Saturday, and they still try to adhere to the Sabbath worship. A holy convocation could occur on a Saturday, or it could occur on any other day of the week. The Feast of Unleavened Bread began with and ended with what? Right, a high day, a holy convocation. So, we're going to look and see what we've got so far by way of review. We looked at months, and so far we learned that the first month of the year, God changed it in the book of Exodus, and that month was called what? Abib. But when God's people disobeyed, they got carried away to Babylon. Due to the Babylonian influence, God's people began to call the first month Abib by the name what? Nisan. So Abib and Nisan, Nisan, no, that's a card. Nisan is the same month, okay? Then we went and we looked at biblical days. And we saw that in the Bible, the time for a new day to start was at what? Sunset. Our modern time is at 12:01, it's at midnight. But in the Bible, sunset in the evening there would start a new day. And then we looked at the phrase between the evenings. And we saw that the phrase between the evenings meant at that period of time, we would call it, you know, in the afternoon when it started, the sun started to go down and nighttime was coming into dusk. We saw that. Then we looked at some of the customs in the Bible, and one of the customs and the feast in the Bible that we checked out was the feast of the Passover. The Passover lamb was to be selected on the 10th of Nisan. It was to be kept unto the 14th of Nisan. It was to be prepared and killed on the 14th of Nisan, but when they ate the meal, they actually ate it on what? The 15th, because time changed at what? Nighttime. That's correct. We looked at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We saw that the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to follow, begin, and commence with the Passover meal. We also saw that the Feast of Unleavened Bread started out with what the Bible called the Holy Convocation. It was called the Special Sabbath or a High Day. We saw that the Feast of Unleavened Bread also ended with a what? Holy Convocation or a special day, a high day. Now, the next thing we need to consider before we can move on with regards to this subject is what we call biblical watches. Biblical watches. Now, in understanding biblical timekeeping, we need to study watches. See, this is a Timex watch, but they didn't have these back then, right? And the sundial is no good because the sundial only works during what? When the sun's out. And if you got a bad day, you don't know what time it is. But the period between sunset and sunrise was divided into watches rather than hours in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there were three watches during the course of the night. And each of these watches lasted approximately 4 hours. This marked time throughout the night in a general way. The first watch, or the evening watch, lasted from sunset to 10 p.m. The second watch, or the middle watch, went from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. That's when most of our children are still at bars. We should make it the bar watch instead of the middle watch. The third watch, or morning watch, went from 2 a.m. to sunrise. In Psalm 63:6, David alludes to the night watches that he prays unto God. In Judges 7:1, it talks about Gideon and how he went in the middle watch to fight. And interesting here is because the middle watch would be what? From 10 to 2, right? And in Exodus 14, 24, it talks about the first watch, or the morning watch, rather. Now, that's in the Old Testament. By the time the New Testament rolled around, Roman timekeeping had increased the number of watches from 3 until 4. The first, or the evening watch, was from sunset to 9 p.m. That's the first watch. The second watch, or what was called the midnight watch, was from 9 p.m. to 12 midnight. The third, or the cock crowing watch, went from midnight to 3 a.m. And the fourth, or the morning watch, went from 3 to sunrise. And it's remarkable that God puts these watches in one verse of Scripture. So I took the time to explain this to you. So now when we read Mark 13:35, you can begin to identify what God's talking about, and you begin to see the watches that he points out here. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. At evening, it's the first watch. At midnight, that's the second watch. Or at the cock crowing, that's the third watch. Or in what? The morning, the fourth watch. So the exhortation to the servant was to be aware, be alert, watch, make sure that you don't fall asleep, for the master can come at any one of those watches. Okay? Now, on the same subject, the daylight period from sunrise to sunset was divided into 12 equal segments of time, and they call them the same thing we do, hours. And since this daylight period varied in length depending on the time of the year, the hours also varied in length. See, we have 12 hours period, 60 minutes, right? Because we have these things we can keep time with. However, in the Bible, they didn't. So an hour in the Bible fluctuated. And an hour in the Bible, depending on the time of the year, whether it was winter, summer, spring, fall, would go between 49 minutes and 71 minutes. Okay, you know, what's the longest day of the year? June, right? That's when the sun doesn't let you go to sleep. And then, unless you live in Alaska or something, they got all kinds of things up there. So for the purpose of teaching, we're going to set sunrise at approximately 6 a.m. The third hour is approximately 9 a.m. The sixth hour would be approximately noon. And the ninth hour would be approximately 3 p.m. And we'll set sunset at approximately 6 p.m. Okay? Now, that's all going to be important because we're going to see that Jesus was crucified. He died approximately at the ninth hour of the day. And this is how you understand what time period and what time of the day that the Bible's talking about. Okay. Now, biblical days of the week. We got to look at this for a second. Biblical days of the week were referred to by number, not by name. In other words, the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week. And as I told you earlier, that the Sabbath corresponded to our what? Saturday. See, we say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This is what we say, right? But they didn't say that in the Bible. They said the first day, the second day, the seventh day. Example of this is the first part of John 20. There's many in the Bible. I just picked one. It says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early. Okay? That's the first day of the week. It doesn't say Sunday, but that's the day that it's talking about, because the Sabbath would be the seventh day. So the first day of the week corresponding to our thinking would be Sunday. Okay, now let's see what we can put that together. So what we learned with regards to biblical watches is that in the Old Testament, they had how many watches? Three. When you got to the New Testament, the Romans added an extra watch, so they went up to what? Four. We have 12 equal segments of time, from sunrise to sunset, and we saw that they were divided into what they called hours, what we call hours. And that hour would literally vary from 49 minutes to 71 minutes, depending on the year, the time of year that the month that we were in. We saw that the days of the week were referred to by what? They were referred to by numbers and not by names. Okay, so putting this all together, what have we learned so far by way of review this morning? We began to look at months, and we looked at months in biblical terms. And we saw that the first month of the year, according to Exodus 12, God named Abib. We saw that God's people many times don't obey. And in this particular instance, because of their disobedience, eventually they went into captivity and the Babylonian Empire took them over. After the Babylonian Empire took them over, the influence of the Babylonians upon God's people, not God, but God's people began to call the first month of the year Nisan, Nisan. So Abib and Nisan were the same month. They were the first month of the year. And then we looked at biblical days. We saw in our culture that our new day starts at midnight. But in biblical culture, we saw that their new day started at evening, approximately 6 or so in the evening. And then we looked at the phrase between the evenings. And we saw that the phrase between the evenings signified when the sun started to go down to that period of time, that whole 3-4 hours, whatever it was, that whole period of time until the evening sun set and a new day actually began. Okay? That's what that phrase meant. Then we took a look at some biblical customs and biblical feasts, and we saw the Passover. The Passover was the 10th and final plague that God brought against Egypt because Egypt and the Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go. So he did all kinds of things to try and get to this guy to show him that I'm not playing games. You're going to let these guys go one way or another. He sent flies. He sent frogs. He sent locusts. He sent all kinds of... And the Word of God says that Pharaoh just kept hardening his heart over and over and over again. This guy was a stool knot. He didn't want to hear it. He wouldn't let the guy go. So finally, God said, okay, this is what's going to happen. The firstborn in your house, including your animals, are going to die if you don't let my children go, my people go. And then God protected his own. He said, take a lamb, choose it out on the 10th day. Keep it up until the 14th day. On the 14th day, between the evenings, I want you to kill the lamb. Take the blood out of the lamb, put it in a basin, take some hyssop, dip it in the basin, mark it on the lintel, and the top post of your door. And when I pass through the land of Egypt this night, I'll look at that door and I'll know I won't allow the angel of death, the destroyer, to touch your house. But if the marking of the blood wasn't on the outside, you succumb to the same fate that the children of Egypt or those people did. You understand? Then God said, I want you to take the lamb and I want you to prepare it and I want you to eat it. And he wanted them to eat it with what? Bitter herbs and what? Unleavened bread, remember? And they were to eat that in the nighttime. But they had to eat it before what? Midnight, because the angel came through at midnight. So they ate the meal before midnight, sometime between 6 and midnight, let's say, whatever. And they ate it with bitter herbs, unleavened bread, and they ate it with their loins girded, the Bible says. In other words, they ate it standing up. And the Bible says, eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. It is the Lord's Passover. So the meal was prepared on the 14th. It was killed and prepared on the 14th going in. But when it was actually eaten, it was eaten on the what? 15th, because the time changed, right, at night. And then we saw that on the 15th, the Passover meal was actually the first meal of the feast that God instituted. And that feast was called what? Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we saw that that feast lasted how many days? 7 days. Now, the first day of the feast and the last day of the feast, there was to be a what? A holy convocation, a special day, a high day, a special Sabbath day. And on that holy convocation would mark the beginning and the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we saw that the Passover actually overlapped in this extent that it was the first meal of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then we went to watches, and we saw that there were three watches in the Old Testament. When you got to the New Testament, we saw that there were four watches. We saw that there were 12 equal segments of time from sunrise to sunset, and we saw according to the time of the year that that particular hour that we call it would vary from 49 to 71 minutes. And then we saw that great verse of scripture in Mark 13:35 that showed us all four of these watches in one verse of scripture. And then we referenced some Old Testament verses about Gideon and in Exodus and in Samuel that you can go and you can look up for yourself, and that will show you the three watches of the Old Testament. And then we saw that the days of the weeks were referred to by what? Number and not by name. Okay? Now, I had to take this segment of time to show you all this because when we go and we actually get into the working of the Word and the study of the Word to show you when Jesus Christ did die, all of these items here, all of these keys to biblical understanding are going to come up, and we're going to be able to put the Word together so we can arrive at the correct date and time, or correct time and day when Jesus Christ died. Therefore, we can count. Once we find that out, we can count forward or we can count backwards one way or another from counting the resurrection, this sort of thing. Okay? So that's all we're going to do for now. And I know that I've given you a lot of information, but if you grab a hold of the CD, you'll be able to go over it again with your Bible, take some time, and it'll all come together when we continue with this teaching. So, Father, thanks for your Word. We thank you, Father, for how you watch over us, and thank you that you've taken the time to put these things in your Word, that we should take the time to ferret them out so we can see the great accuracy and truth of your Word. So we thank you for these things, and we thank you so much for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and all that he accomplished on behalf of us and continues to do for us. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.